B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Get this off with a two-minute warning. No surprise. Falls back, throws. Intercepted. Went right through Jason's hands. It's Lattimore.
Well, it ends like that. Sometimes the gods aren't fair. Sometimes the sports god forsake us. Look, I know that the Eagles had been on borrowed time and escaped miraculously. But to give up 20 points to the New Orleans Saints in that Superdome and to lose like that, like they were going in. They were going in, and Alshon catches everything. He catches everything. And how many times I watched that replay, I don't know how in the world the ball scooted through his hands. He's got gigantic oven mitts hands. He's a handsman.
Yeah.
Of all things, he's a handsman. Oh, I swore they were winning the game. Jason Martinez, Anthony Gargano's the Midday Show, and we're here to cry with you.
Yeah, and Doug talked about it after the game, the sudden death of the NFL playoffs is so, you don't see, it's like what they talked about in the spring. You're not going to see it coming, and you're just going to go to black. And like, that's what happened. The ball goes, you go, wait a minute, first of all, they're running a play? Because you figured they were just going to let it tick down to the two-minute warning, take off clock for Drew Brees and another stoppage of play, and then that happens that quick, and all of a sudden you go, holy cow. The wild ride is, we just got off the roller coaster, and maybe it was earlier than we wanted to. Crazy.
Well, it was definitely earlier than we wanted to. I mean, look, when the Saints went, first of all, let's go back. When Michael Bennett makes the stop on Kamara,
the loss,
to push the field goal back.
What a play.
And that was the time I go, he's going to miss the field goal. Lutz is going to miss the field goal. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, Lutz misses the field goal, and you take over the 45, you're going, you know,
field position.
He can do it. Mm-hmm. Nick can do it. This is how you win,
mm-hmm.
right? This is the magic of Foles. This is Saint Nick.
Yep.
He's going to bring you back to win.
Yeah, you throw in everything that happened before that. It didn't matter. You knew in that big moment. You see his face when they close up on it. They're just like, oh.
Yeah, no, he was like, what about Philly?
Yeah, did you feed the dog before we came
in? That was going to happen. That moment. Yep. He was going to drive him down and finish the job, and it was on to L.A. and the California Pines, like the song goes.
Yeah. Damn, I do believe with all of my heart that if that wouldn't have happened with Alshon, that they were going down. They were at the 25-yard line. They were going down. They were going to score.
Yeah.
They were going to leave with 18 seconds left.
There was always a matter of, you know, whether or not the Saints had any time left to drive back down the field for the kick, which is why I was shocked as all hell that they ran the play, and they snapped it 2:01.
Mm-hmm.
2:01, they snapped the ball, and I guess they're figuring, let's try to get, you know, catch Norris
on their heels,
you know, off guard.
Yeah,
and in reality, it worked. It's just a shame because the play was what happened.
Issue there with not letting it go to the 2 minute warning was, and right, the play would have worked, and we'd have gone, wow, I can't believe they did that. But the week before, you left time on the clock for Mitch Trubisky, and he moved him down for a field goal that should have ended their season.
Agreed. You know? It happens, and my first reaction is, I was doing the fourth quarter live with Mike on FanCred, and it's like, great, don't run a play.
Yeah. And you eliminate the automatic timeout that they get for free at the 2 minute warning.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm
exactly.
Going, why did they run in the play? Now, like you said, though, if they had made the play, and who knows, maybe they would have scored with 32 seconds, and that's not enough for Brees. I don't know, but I didn't want to be put in that situation after I saw the chunk plays they were getting to Michael Thomas all day, who was insane in the game.
Yeah, he was. But again, ultimately, they gave up 20 points. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, if you tell me before the game, 20 points. I said 24 was a Eagles win.
Yeah.
They gave up 20.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And they were up 14-0.
Yeah, and third down was a killer for them again. to get to 20 points they got. I mean, a couple long third downs.
Well, that one drive that went in the third quarter was the killer drive.
Yeah.
I thought the Eagles' defense played really well. I thought the game plan by Schwartz was good.
Yeah.
It was the game plan that I said all week long, which is make the Saints matriculate the ball down the field. Don't give up those long throws, those long plays.
How about the one drive? 11 minutes and 29 seconds for the Saints. Incredible.
I think we came up with four penalties on that drive.
Yeah, 18 plays on the drive, 92 yards, 11-29. That
was the only one where during that drive, your defensive linemen are starting to fatigue a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would have brought some pressure, but other than that, you know,
yeah.
First half, I thought they played a perfect game.
Yeah.
The shame of it is it's 14-0. And man, it's, you know, the shame of the interception to Ertz, the one Nick threw, if it's first down. Remember, they got the first down.
Mm-hmm.
They're at least coming away with three.
Yeah.
And, you know, 17.
Big difference.
You know, 17-0.
Yep.
As opposed to, you know, 17-0.
Mm-hmm.
And look, by the way, you know, ultimately, you know, you wind up, you know, you're only three at the end.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah, you're right. You get to 17 because when they score a touchdown to make it 17-14, they're just one score from tying the game. And it feels inevitable at that point because the momentum, you can clearly feel the momentum of the game shifting in their favor with that fake punt. And that's been another thing that's been debated, the 4th-and-1. Do you take the 3rd-and-11 or do you take the 4th-and-1? Look, I have no problem with what Doug's decision was there. To me, you always put 4th down on the field, especially at that spot on the field.
I'll be honest with you.
You're going 3rd-and-11?
I'm on the other side. I definitely would have gone the other side. Listen, I was surprised that Peyton ran a fake punt.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he should have went for it straight up.
Oh, we not even put the punt team on the field.
Yeah, I would have definitely went for it.
With those backs? With Ingram, Kamara?
With Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
No, I would have brought Taysom Hill in and ran Taysom Hill.
Yeah. Well, he's a big boy.
Yeah, man. 6'5", 235.
He's a linebacker.
Yeah, he is. Listen, that's what I would have ran. I wouldn't have called a fake punt.
Mm.
I'm fully expecting Peyton to go for it. Your team is desperate. You're feeling desperate.
You're up against it.
You got to take a shot. You got to shock your team out of it, which is why you got to go for it, which is why I would have taken the penalty.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have put the 3rd-and-11 on the field?
No, in a heartbeat.
Okay, it's interesting.
Heartbeat. I don't think there's any wrong answer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, like, to me, it's, well, I was just talking about it with Coach Spags. I was in the car just BSing with him, and we talked about that play, because he's same way. Well, it's 35.
Yeah.
You know, and I go, nah, I pin him back. Because a couple reasons. One, the way my defense is playing, the way their offense is out of sync.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And I, you know, 4th-and-1 with the weapons they have.
And Doug knew it was a possibility because he left his defense on the field in a punt return situation.
Right, which is why I would have taken the penalty. And again,
and Cox got hurt on that play too, by the way.
I know.
On the 4th-and-1. That was a detriment in the game. Although, boy, he battled back and kept coming on the field. And there's a lot of guys that left it out there yesterday.
No.
Michael Bennett was dinged.
Yeah, he was incredible. And to Shane Brandon Brooks.
Oh,
yeah. Did you see JPP's face?
Yeah.
He was in tears.
Yeah, it's over.
He was a huge, I mean, the biggest reason why the offense stalled was no Brandon Brooks.
Oh, yeah, because you had nothing on the right side now.
And you couldn't run.
Yeah.
No, Brandon Brooks is a freaking great, he's a great player.
Give up one sack all year, by the way.
And by the way, like, you know, he's a great run blocker, too.
Mm-hmm. He's a road grader. You're right. And look, it seemed like, I'm watching, my wife was sitting next to me and I'm watching the game. And I go, is there like a guy up there with a sniper rifle just picking our best players off one by one? Like, what is going on down here?
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, it's a shame, man. It's just a shame because they deserved a better fate, this group. This group was resilient and hardworking and, you know, clutch and you know, they deserve the better fate. Alshon, I feel horrible for him because he catches everything. He does. Yeah.
He took it all on himself, too. It wasn't all on him. It wasn't just that play. But, I mean, the way he handled
He's an ace. He's an ace.
What'd you think of Doug greeting every player on the way in the locker room after the game?
I loved it. I thought he was beautiful.
Brett Favre said it. You've talked about it. That he always knows the right thing to say. And he always knows the right behavior.
Well, that's what makes him a great coach. It's
class, man.
It's not what, again, I've said this, like, I didn't think he coached a great X and O game,
mm-hmm.
but he, that's not his strength. His strength is as a general. You want to play for
him. And he's a great leader in that way. I mean, his guys will
go. It kind of makes sense now how everything played out this year.
Yeah.
Where Doug's greatest strength is as a coach, as a general, right? Like getting guys never to quit.
Yeah.
The understanding that there are times I got to be a little hard on you and there's times I'm going to love you all the time. So, and that's his beauty. That's his.
But it's genuine, right?
No, that's what makes him a great coach.
That's what's great. You see through it if it's not.
That's what makes you a great coach. And I think, you know, having Reich and DeFilippo there last year helped him strategically.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Right? And I think that was, and head coaches need to rely on your assistants in that realm. So.
Yeah, because you have so much that you're dealing with. And he's so great at that aspect. I mean, tremendous at that aspect.
Yeah, man.
It's like Charlie a lot of ways.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
610-632-0975. So it's real simple today. How do you feel, Eagle fans? I mean, the last 13 months.
We're
going
to commiserate. I'm sad.
Yeah. Well, the 13th, last
sad.
13
That's
months.
I thought we were going to L.A.
Yeah. Last 13 months have been magical, but it has come to an end. The Eagles will not be able to defend their Super Bowl title. The season is over, and Football Monday is brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, listen, the Geek Conference Championships are set. Don't we know it, right? So either a trip to Atlanta or a trip home, the only thing better than the action on the field is the action you can get from your own couch on each and every game with the all-new DraftKings Sportsbook app. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet on the conference championship matchups. That's right. So you got Andy versus Belichick. Who you like in there? And then you got the NFC creep Sean Payton versus Sean McVay in a battle of Sean's. In addition to over-unders, point spreads, player props, and live bets, DraftKings Sportsbook has special odds boosts on some of the most popular sporting events every day. With over 10 million bets having been placed to date on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, it's the number one mobile sportsbook in New Jersey. And DraftKings is based right here in the U.S., not offshore, so you know your funds are safe and secure. As a special playoff bonus, new users will get the first bet match up to $500. That's right. For a limited time, DraftKings will instantly match your first bet up to $500 when you use code FANATIC at sign up on DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Code FANATIC when you sign up. DraftKings will instantly match your first bet up to $500. No gimmicks, no playthrough requirements, only at DraftKings. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Restrictions apply.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Play I didn't make. I mean, it went through my hands. I mean, they put me in catchable ball. I got to make that play. That's on me. I'll take that loss. That's on me. Got all my teammates down. City of Philadelphia. That's on me. I'll take that.
Well, it's sad. It's a sad day. I mean, last night it was sad. And just because, like, the journey was amazing and the fact that, you know, you could almost handle it had it been a blowout, right? Like, they lost, you know.
And, outclassed.
You know, where you go, whatever, we can't stop, we can't play with this team. But it was almost more torturous the way it played out, where they're up 14-0. Like, you know, the first drive, boom, 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 touchdown. You know, the interception.
Yeah.
Right? The Saints LeBlanc. Win. You know what's funny? You know, Breeze missed two. Mm-hmm. Say what you want. He's
underthrew.
The greatest.
Yep.
He is. He's a great player. He missed two. Mm-hmm. The opening play that was interception.
Underthrown.
Was underthrown. He had another one in the third quarter mm-hmm. that he underthrew that was a touchdown, too. He, imagine if they start with, you know, first play touchdown.
Yeah, you're back in that Tampa Bay game where you get blown up on the first play for 75 yards.
No, and you're back in 48-7. Like, oh, my God, like, holy moly.
Oh, what that does to your head is insurmountable.
So the greatest thing happens, and that was the pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, here it was, one play, interception. So you held them from the kickoffs, from that possession. What do I keep saying about possessions? You got to just get stops,
yep.
Stops, right? It's a possession game. And then you turn around, go down and score.
Yeah.
Then you stop them again, and you score.
Yeah.
And then here you are. And you're up 14-0, and you get another turnover, and you're about to at least make it 17-0, maybe even 21-0.
You do that, and it's rocking chair ride.
Oh, my God, and you're just watching this play out, and you're in this blissful state, and you're going, wow, you got a shot. Now, again, when they go make it 14-7, you got that, like, ooh, it's going to be a game.
Yeah.
But, man, when it was 14-0 with the ball.
Yeah.
Damn.
When it was 14-7, I turned to my wife and I said, they're going to need more points. He's going to need to do more here or they're not going to win because you're not going to hold them to 7 or 10. You weren't going to do it, and you started to feel that momentum. Well, let's get to the people. We'll hear from Doug Peterson, by the way, today at noon, his final day after press conference. We'll deliver that to you right at straight up 12 o'clock, so stay tuned. We'll hear from the head coach and get his assessment, not only on this game, but obviously the entire season and so many interesting angles from Alshon Jeffrey taking all the blame on himself, how he greeted every player entering that locker room after the game, some game calls as well, including letting the clock trickle down to the two-minute warning. There's a lot of angles here.
Yeah.
But let's get to the phones. Let's talk to David in Baltimore. He starts us off on the Fanatic. How you doing, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Hi, Dave.
I know it's a tough day, man. You know, usually, though, and Jason, I call up and I'd be really, really mad. It's hard to get mad at this team. And you know what? I have a couple things I want to get to. I, to me, like, you know, they were up 14-0, and this is why I'm not a stat guy. People go, well, you only give up 20 points to the Saints, but if you watch the game, the bottom line is the defense could not get off the field in third and long situations. Mm-hmm. And I get it. The offense did not play well. But you know what? At the end of the day, what do you want? You want your quarterback to have a chance to win the game at the end with a drive, right?
Yep.
And he did that. And Jeffrey never drops that. That Football Index said last year it was the first drop pass he ever had in the playoffs.
Wow.
So, and he only had two in the regular season this year, by the way, too, David.
Right. It happens.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think ultimately this is really what killed us the season and the game yesterday. Number one, they couldn't get off the field on third down. It just killed us the whole season. And everybody's going to say, well, the defense gave up 1 point less. But I'm not a stat guy because if you watch the games, they couldn't get off the field.
The only thing, though. Against that team, that's what you wanted them to have to matriculate the ball because you wanted to shorten the game. I mean, ultimately, we got what we wanted, and that was having having the ball down less than a touchdown.
And that's ultimately all you asked for. And I'll just give you the last thing that I think really hurt this team, and it wasn't really talked about a lot. Look. The lack of a running game this year, you cannot win. Look, the bottom line is the Saints knew we were going to pass. We abandoned the run yesterday. I love Wendell Smallwood. I do. But he's a second, maybe third tier back.
Yeah.
You don't have a running game.
Fourth back on a team,
period. And not having a running game hurts the offense. You can't pass the ball the entire game. And eventually that was going to come back to bite us. You have to have some sort of running game.
Yeah, you have to have a multifaceted attack. And the reason, thanks for the call, David. The reason why the Saints are so good is because they got Michael Thomas, and they got Drew Brees.
Studs everywhere.
And Kamara can run the ball and catch the ball. And Ingram was pretty good.
Ingram was very good. No,
power runner.
If there was one mistake I thought Doug made on the offense, it wasn't running Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why. I mean, what do you get, two carries?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you got to get more.
Yeah.
Like you got to do different things with him. You got to be able to run it a little bit with him. I thought that was a mistake.
Yeah. Sproles got 3 carries, 4 yards. Smallwood ended up with 10 carries for 33. He had a great blitz pickup. You and I were talking about it on the one. It was a long throw down the right side. And he recognized where the blitz was coming, stepped up, and great protection. That was an issue for him. But all said and done, Foles ends up 18 of 31 at 201, 1 touchdown, 2 picks.
I mean, the whole story was time of possession, which... Again, you expect you understand that you're going to lose time of possession mm-hmm. against that team, and the trade-off is they only score 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
11-minute and 29-second drive.
I know, like, we got Chris come up, and he's angry at Schwartz, and I get the blitz thing, but I thought he called a perfect first half, and even in the second quarter, in the third quarter during that drive, I mean, I think there were two spots that I would have sent pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're trying to shorten the game.
Yeah, and the announcers Burkhart and Charles Davis brought it up. He gets the ball out so quick that a blitz sometimes won't even matter.
Well, there are times, like, if you remember though, there was a blitz. I'm like, he's got to bring pressure here. It was the drive after that. It was during the mm-hmm. one they scored three on. And he did.
Yeah.
And he brought the pressure, and Breeze beat it.
Yeah.
It was a play. If you remember the throw, though, the pressure got to Breeze. It was a throw. It was behind the rookie receiver who makes a great catch. He bobbled it for a second.
Yeah, and then brought it in.
Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, and LeBlanc had his arm in there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And that was a pressure. That was a pressure mm-hmm. that Schwartz brought.
484 Brian on Twitter says, and this is to your point, Ant, he says, am I crazy for thinking that 11-minute drive may have helped our chances?
Yeah.
Every time Breeze got the ball, he scored. This shortened the game and limited his possessions. They only got three on that drive. I mean, it took forever. He almost had the ball the entire quarter. But you're right. That was how you kept the amount of possessions they had off the field.
Yeah.
It was a huge factor. And you were in lockstep with what they did.
I said it before
Thursday. You broke it down
all week. Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in Allentown on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, guys. Just like the first caller, man. I'm normally really really angry about this, but I'm not. But this team has been resilient. The reason I'm happy and I'm mad and I'm excited for next season already is we had all second teams, second stringers, third stringers, fourth stringers, running backs between linemen to the cornerbacks, the whole nine yards. But where I come with Jim Schwartz, I've been calling you guys since week freaking two when Tampa Bay, I've been calling Schwartz's head for the entire season. I am sick and tired of this guy. You're going to go out there and throw the same defense out, do a Hall of Fame quarterback every step of the way, and you're going to expect a different result? Are you freaking kidding me? 3rd and 18, you got to help your quarterback by bringing an extra guy out, moving Drew Brees off his spot so that the quarterback
yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, there were maybe you can nitpick and give you a couple spots, but I mean, ultimately.
Yeah, but 3rd and 18. This has been, like, you look around the
I'm with you normally. You know I'm not the biggest Schwartz guy, but I thought his plan yesterday was right because it limited possessions. And
yeah, but you got to take a chance, though, Ant. I mean, come on, man. You're a football guy. You know this, man.
I'm telling you, Chris. Listen, there are times. Like,
Look what they did to Nick Foles.
Chris,
they were moving
Breeze,
him off his spot. And that's
Breeze
why
is a lot
like
different
nervous.
Than Nick. Breeze gets the ball out, and he's got incredible weapons. I mean, you know, you
got
to be
careful. He's got Michael Thomas, Ant. I mean, I don't know where you're watching this football game.
Where's Kamara? What about Kamara and the running game that he's got,
yeah,
too?
They shut them down.
The point is you need to make them matriculate the football down, and you need to let them use clock.
One more point, guys, before you hang up on me.
Yeah.
I am excited about this offseason. You know why?
What's that?
Because we got Carson Wentz getting a full offseason of work with his wide receivers.
Mm.
And we're going to see that MVP quarterback coming back next season.
I hope you're right, Chris. I got to let you go. But here's the deal. He's recovering from a fractured back. He doesn't have an offseason where he's just preparing for a season. He's got a rehab. They said it was a 3-month timetable on that injury. And that was about 3 weeks ago.
I think he got hurt well before that.
Yeah, but when they said it was 3 months, it was from that point.
But he said the healing process already had begun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the injury was prior to that, but I agree, but...
I think he got hurt in October, right?
Yeah, I think it was around October 7th against the Vikings.
Yeah.
So, when
October,
you...
October, November, December, January, 3 months.
Well, yeah, but he kept playing on it, too, which exacerbated it.
You know, whatever. I mean, but to Chris's point.
I hope he's right.
You know, listen, I love pressure. I watched the Chargers game, and I marvel at what Belichick did. What Belichick did was just simply astounding, amazing coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He pressured every play. He mimicked the Ravens.
That great defense.
Like he somehow mimicked the Ravens. It was unbelievable what Belichick did.
He was like Jim Johnson going even more crazy as a mad scientist.
It was unbelievable. You know, again, there are spots when, yeah, you could have brought pressure. But ultimately, I think Schwartz played it well. I mean, ultimately, they scored 20 points. And you know, when you get pressure, and I brought up the time when they got pressure, and Breeze beat it. Breeze beat, you know, the first time Schwartz tried the pressure, and Breeze beat him 48-7.
Yeah.
I thought he coached a good game. I mean, again, you can quibble on a call here and a call there. Maybe you bring an extra pressure during that long drive just to kind of speed things up for your defensive linemen who are getting tired on the field. But that was my game plan going into it.
Yeah, and look, and Fletcher Cox being out of periods of time, significant periods of time, Michael Bennett out for a little bit as well. Yeah. That doesn't help you able to get pressure. Jernigan was good, although he had the bad penalty, which I thought was a bogus call, by the way. It was a horrible call. Yeah. The taunting one, terrible.
Yeah.
And that gave them, that really was a big penalty in the game when you look back. But, you know, you lost Maddox for a little bit, and a couple, one of that third and I think 13 was when he was off the field. And I think they went to Michael Thomas for 22.
Well, the big play is when you had, what's his name, number 48, the third stringer in the fourth and one mm-hmm. play.
Yeah.
He was in that play.
Now they
Hawkins, thank you.
Yeah, they converted, Anthony, 8 third downs yesterday. Third and 10, third and 1, third and 3, third and 1, third and 16, third and 5, third and 13, and third and 10. An average of 7.375 yards on the third downs that they converted.
Yeah. I know.
Some
I
of
mean,
them were big.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I get it, and I understand about, you know, certain pressures, and I'm not a the fan
defense,
of Schwartz.
Defense.
Like, I'm not. I've made it clear throughout the season. I'm not a fan of his style. I think he's a good coach, but I'm just, I like a more aggressive style of defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You know, you hold that offense to 20. I mean, you just got to win.
Yeah.
Especially when you're up 14-0.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't score another point is why they lost the game. 610-632-0975. Janet in Washington Township's on the Fanatic. What's up, Janet?
Hey, Jason, Anthony, love you guys. Anthony, long time. Loyal listener of you.
Thank you, Janet. How you feeling today?
Hey, I'm doing okay, but this is my question. No one has mentioned this.
What's that?
Why did Dallas Goedert not play?
Yeah, you're right. You know,
he had a breakout game. He blocked Khalil Mack in the Bears game brilliantly.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, where was he? Where our offense struggled yesterday? Where was he? I saw him. Anytime I saw him coming into the locker room at the end of the game, fully dressed. Where was he? No one has brought this up.
Yeah, you're right. I think the problem was that they were limited to just, you know, X amount of plays because the Saints held the ball so much, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think you might have saw them. You know, again, they ran. Think about this: the Saints ran 71 plays, and the Eagles ran 47. So there's just good when you're limited to only 47 plays. I think, you know, guys like Goddard aren't going to get used.
Yeah, he played 20 snaps.
I mean, they only had the ball for 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Still, they should have had him in there for at least.
He was in there for 20 snaps, Chad, but they didn't go to him.
Did you see him? Oh, okay. I was looking.
Yeah, no, 39% of the offensive snaps he was on.
I'm a big fan of his because I just see what he can bring to the table. And it's not the dynamic of having two tight ends in there.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Would have thrown them off their game a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's
anyway,
a keen eye, Janet. You have a keen eye.
Yeah, that's an intricate look at it. And he was a guy that I was hoping that was going to be an asset in this game.
So when you got 47 plays, I mean, when you only get all 47 plays.
It's not much.
And I don't even know what that, how many plays, do me a favor. Andrew, you're good at this because I'm curious of the number. Give me the 40. Give me how many plays the Eagles ran after the first quarter.
So after 14-0.
Yeah.
Whew,
well, actually, limited. After the interception.
Okay.
Run it after the Foles interception, the first one, where he misses Ertz. He's a little short on the ball. And I think that'll tell a great story.
They ran 9 more in the first half, Anthony. nine more plays. And then in the second half, 17 more plays.
So 26 total? 26 total. I mean, you know, you're running 26 plays for basically three quarters.
Yeah, it's not enough.
And, you know.
That's why you didn't score.
Yeah.
And then you were in position at the end still to be able to pull out the game, which is crazy.
It is.
Against the Saints, no less.
Well, but again, it's a pick your poison type thing, right?
You know? You're right.
You know, you don't want them scoring on, you know, two play, you know, four play, six play drives where they hit, where they hit you over the top.
Yeah. Stay tuned at 11 o'clock. We'll have a keyword for you, a chance to win $1,000. And also at noon today, we've got the Doug Peterson Day After Press Conference, final one of the season. Stay tuned. Midday Show's back after this on the Fanatic.
All right, let's talk about the Parks Casino Sportsbook. We were there, man. It's a monster weekend this past weekend, and the first full week is here for the all-new sportsbook at Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Parks has it all, the new sportsbook, Parks Grill Steakhouse, Liberty Bell Gastro Pub, Olivetto Italian Restaurant, Bamboo Noodle House, and, of course, Chickies and Pete's. The food, we sampled it. We were there. Great restaurants. It's a great day out, man. It really is over at Parks Casino. World-class entertainment at the Excite Center, state-of-the-art poker room. Coming soon, an amazing all-season beer garden with a retractable roof. Oh, my God. 3,600 slots, over 115 tables, live horse racing next door. You got to check out the Bet Slip Builder sports betting app. Really, really easy to use. You can track and, you know, plan out all your bets. Parks Casino Sportsbook is open, and the sportsbook at the South Philly Turf Club is opening soon. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ten o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
We set out on a journey way back in OTAs, and we keep talking about having no regrets, you know, leave everything out on the field, and they did that tonight. You know, they did that this afternoon, and they battled right to the end. We had opportunities, so I'm proud of them, proud of the season, proud of the adversity that we faced all season long, and found our way to get into the postseason, and just wish the Saints, you know, good luck going forward.
Man, what a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He Doug is a gentleman, a great leader, and a great ambassador for that franchise. He really is.
Yeah.
Says all the right things all the time.
Yeah. Going back to what Brett Favre said when he was a backup quarterback with him in Green Bay. It's amazing.
Stan, he wears a suit, man. I give him a lot of credit. I was never the biggest fan of his as his strategist, but it doesn't matter. Like he's a great leader. He's a great coach. And because a coach, the definition, it's not about being some sort of wunderkind. These offensive guys, you see these guys.
Yeah,
they all look the same too.
Yeah,
you know, they're all these guys that look like the, you know, male models, like 6'2", get the stubble.
Yeah,
you know, they're all quarterback guru coaches.
Yeah,
Doug's a winner. You know, he says the right things. His players love him, and you know, you don't need to be one of these Sean McVays, who are. And I like Sean McVay too.
I do too, obviously.
But like, there was a line that was going around, and Troy Aikman used it on Saturday night, which is, you know, if you have a coffee with Sean McVay, you're going to get an interview, a coaching job.
Yeah,
and you know, I go back to Doug, and Doug is a great leader, man. When I see those players. The most heartening moment of yesterday, of all the moments that touched me.
I think I know what it is.
Okay.
Is it Brandon Graham and Derek Gunn?
No, it was Jason Peters.
Oh, yeah.
Crying for Brandon Brooks.
Yeah.
When when
that's a family, right?
When Jason Peters had that look, I love Jason Peters. I'm going to miss him. And when he wept and he was weeping for Brandon Brooks, I really felt that. I felt that was a beautiful moment, man.
It shows you the bond that they carry as a family and a team, right?
And let me, while we're, look, it's the time to pay, I think, a lot of compliments to this team. Michael Bennett was sensational over really the last half of the season.
Yeah.
He played great football. He played great football in the playoffs. It's funny, I was talking to Coach Bags, and we were talking about that last play where he gets Kamara in the backfield. And Coach Bags goes, he went gangster on that play. I was one that he probably did himself.
He just willed it.
Yeah, man.
It was a great, it was a huge play.
Yeah.
It really was an enormous play at a big time. He was very impressive in the
Fletcher,
last half.
It was amazing. And
he left it all out there.
He did. I mean, you see how much he was hurt. He was trying to get back.
How about Alshon playing with the busted ribs, too? We didn't even know.
Yeah. No, I mean, those guys.
Warriors.
I mean, those guys were awesome. You should be proud of all of them, man.
Yeah.
They represented. And, the thing that says so much about Doug and this group is that you win the Super Bowl, it's okay to, maybe take the foot off the gas a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe slide. You know what I mean? It's okay to give up on this season. Not okay, but you get my point.
You won the Super Bowl, right? Yeah, you have equity.
They didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that. They fought. They fought to the end. They put their bodies on the line. I'm just very, very impressed by that Eagles team.
I am too. I'm almost more impressed by this year than I was last year in a weird way.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And the thing that you go into this offseason knowing, it's a very important offseason. They have a lot of unrestricted free agents on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I got an idea. I think that, they wind up, Nick winds up moving on. I mean, basically told you that in his
post-game.
In his post-game. Sal asked the question.
Yeah.
And you basically heard that afterwards. And, it's easy to see why people fell in love with Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right to the end, he was the guy, man. He was
genuine.
Stood tall and, he goes over and he hugs. With another part of that moment that touched me was when Nick Foles goes over to Alshon. You saw Doug hugging him,
mm-hmm.
and then you saw Nick Foles go over to Alshon, and I thought those were amazing moments.
Tremendous leadership.
But those were takeaway moments of this team.
No, you're right about that. Diz on Twitter, at Dizliak Ryan, tweets in. He says, we've been talking about Jim Schwartz a lot, and he says, does Ant want Jim Schwartz back next year? He's talking about him a lot, but hasn't mentioned whether he wants him back.
Well, I think it's kind of a moot point. I think he is back. I mean, I've said this over and over again. I think he's a good coach. I don't like his scheme. It's just not my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's everything's flavor, right? Like, I think our flavor, and I'm talking as a whole, as Philadelphia football fans.
Aggressive.
We like Jim Johnson. I mean, we like Brian Dawkins. I mean, that's just how we're built.
Yeah.
So I like a more aggressive approach than Schwartz has. Like, I'll joke about it because he is arrogant. But, I thought he coached a good game yesterday. Were there times he could have brought pressure? Yes. But ultimately, he was able to get them to have to matriculate down the field. And that's what I felt the key to the game was, limit possessions.
Let's go to Sam and Trenton on the Fanatic. How you doing, Sammy?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, Sam.
What a night. Just laying in bed, looking up, couldn't sleep. All I could do was get up, go to the window, open up, and feel that breeze, baby!
Get out of here. Let's go to Mike and Sean.
Wait, how about this? He sounded like he had an accent that was here.
Yeah, he might be a fraud fan.
Is he a Cowboy fan that went undercover?
Maybe, because he ever heard from those clowns.
There's no way a Cowboys fan can troll today.
No, but he did it under the guise of just rubbing our nose in breeze.
Yeah.
That was a...
See, if you're a Cowboy fan, the misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, who else?
Not for the Cowboys.
You're telling me he's a Saints fan? Like, why would you be a Saints fan?
How do you become a Saints fan?
Yeah.
Like, if you grew up in Pottstown, how are you a Saints fan?
Yeah, you're right. But The Cowboys do go down Saturday night. So the Eagles season still lasted longer than theirs.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
How about that game?
Yeah, I mean, the Rams played a hell of a game. I thought McVay coached a great game. Yeah.
And Gurley clearly wasn't 100%. But
C.J. Anderson.
How about that, right?
Like, that was the thing. They couldn't stop that mad bowling ball.
He was a carrying dude.
He was a bowling ball.
Yeah. So they go down. The weekend ends up being all chalk.
Yeah, 1-2, 1-2.
Yeah.
I mean, 1-2, 1-2, and seeds both conferences.
Yeah, the bye weeks paid off for those teams. I thought maybe the Ram or the Vi or
I mean,
Saints
you know,
were a little
I
rusty.
Mean, I think all I mean for our you know, our team aside, I thought the four best teams are in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and
these
it
are
makes
the most
weekend intriguing.
These are the most like, all explosive offenses. I mean, think about it. You got Brady, you got Mahomes, you got Breeze, and you got that Rams offense.
Well, you're the four best.
I'm not in love with Goff. I'll tell you one thing. The more I watch Goff, I think he's more a system guy. Now, again, he's young.
The product of that head coach
he's,
and the design.
He's young. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I agree.
And he could turn out to be, you know, better than the system guy, but right now he's still, you know, he's not as electric.
Both over-unders this weekend are at 57 points. 3.5-point favorite for New Orleans at home against the Rams. And then Arrowhead Stadium will be the spot, Anthony, at 6:40 on Sunday with Jim Nance and Tony Romo calling the action as the Hoodie goes to take on Big Red.
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be intriguing. Andy's got my backing.
Yeah, well.
I'm all in on Andy now.
I mean,
I'm going to go get a Mahomes jersey.
If you don't root for, you can't root for the Belichick and Brady over Andy.
And I can't root for Sean Payton over Andy. And I'm not going to root for the Rams.
Let me tell you something. I hate the Saints. If there's one thing that came out of this thing, it's how much I hate that team.
Well, he's a
and you just see the remarking afterwards. Yeah. They were mocking the Eagles.
With the masks and
everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, like you didn't. You got lucky on a drop to win the game.
Yeah,
you got no business doing that.
And they played Dreams and Nightmares in the locker room too.
I know.
Yeah. Well, look. Here's the.
I hate that team.
That pissed me
I
off.
I hate his face.
I'm telling you.
Oh my god, I hate Sean Payton's face. Like, if there's one thing I want to get back, are they among the opponents next year?
I'll take
a
look.
I don't think so. Are they?
I think they might be, Anthony.
I hope so.
2019 opponents.
I hate that team, man. I got it in for that team.
I don't think they play the NFC South next year.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Well, here's who they have next year. Cowboys, Bears, Lions, Patriots, Jets, and Seahawks at home. And then on the road, Packers, Vikings, Bills, Dolphins, Falcons.
Yeah, they get the NFC North.
No, we'll see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hate them. Hate them.
That's the one thing. Like, I get this sense that a lot of the fan base is like, okay, it's over. It was a great ride. It was 13 months, really, since they won that Super Bowl and the magic and everything. And then what happened this year where you thought you were out of it and then they come back and the never say die thing and then all of a sudden it's over. But everybody's kind of like, and I'm already counting down days to training camp, but everybody's kind of like, well, we're going to get Wentz back next year. He's going to be healthy and hopefully he can stay healthy. And, you know, you got a front office that's very aggressive. They got a lot of draft picks coming up in this draft and, you know, they'll be aggressive and they'll have some money available and they'll go out in free agency. They'll make trades. They'll sign guys and it'll be a new team next year, but they'll be right back there. There'll be a team that's going to be a playoff team that, you know, if everything comes together and they can stay healthy.
Yeah, I think.
Do some damage.
Yeah, I think they're a team that is still built for a long, you know, for the long term and to have success.
Yep.
But the one thing you saw going forward is they got some decent young players. I mean, the young set, I like Maddox. I do.
I do too. I like LeBlanc.
You know, I mean, I like Douglas. I felt Douglas showed up. It's a shame. When he got out, you know, they had more success running the football because he was terrific in supporting the flank against the run.
Mm-hmm. A good tackler, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.